But to introduce our seminar today, we have Justin Fulkerson, a brother who attends here, is going to tell you about the mystery and that there is one. All right. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all here today. We appreciate the nice weather. It was a little bit colder last year, so that's been great. Hopefully the parking's worked out and everybody's moved into their seats.
Yes. I forgot to dismiss the children. You're welcome to stay here. I think they're all gone. So, all right.
Children, you may be dismissed.
They're very obedient.
Okay. So welcome to this year's seminar. Last year's seminar was Salvation Made Clear, so you could consider this one to be version 2.0. Okay, we'll use that as a foundation to then step forward to clarify the mystery of Christ. Show of hands, who knows that there is a mystery of Christ in the Bible? Half of us. Okay, good. So you're in the right spot. This is exactly what we're going to be addressing today. The mystery of Christ is something that many people do not know about. If you have taken a look at Barnapole's Lifeway research, we've used those in seminars in the past. Maybe you've viewed those before. You will search in vain to find one that addressed the mystery of Christ. As if they asked individuals in the United States, what is the mystery of Christ? And then they stratified, the southeast of the country seemed to have an understanding of the mystery of Christ, but the northeast, they have no idea what the mystery of Christ is. Or they stratify between males and females. Females understand the mystery of Christ, and males, they have no idea what it is. You are not going to see any poll like that. And yet, it's in the Bible, and it's a very important topic that we address. So that's the importance behind why a seminar on the mystery of Christ. When you attempt to teach someone the mystery of Christ, to show them, is it something like Paul in Athens in Acts 17? You remember what happened to him? He was mocked before he ever got there. He was opposed in Thessalonica. But when he got there and he spoke to them, what are the things that they said? They said he is babbling. He has some strange new doctrine that he's teaching. Have you ever been guilty of that? They're teaching a new doctrine that is not found in the scriptures whatsoever. They're babbling. They mock or they oppose. Does this happen? I'm seeing some heads nodding. Okay, many of us can see experiences like this. It ought not be the case, but we know that there is Bible ignorance. We, too, were in that place. But also, we might get in the way, okay? If you are mocked, opposed, if they think you're teaching a new doctrine or something like that, is it because you're missing the mark? Are you getting in the way of communicating the mystery of Christ clearly? Is this a failure for you to show what it is? That is an important question I think everybody needs to ask here today. So that could be a potential reason. As we enter into all of the sessions that we will do over the course of the weekend, I want you to also keep in mind that understanding all mysteries in the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul has already addressed this. You can still lack and know the mysteries. Okay, what do you lack if you know the mysteries? Charity. Charity. There's a function to understanding God's Word. There's a function to understanding it rightly divided. There's a function to understanding salvation clearly. And there's a function into knowing the mystery of Christ. We use all of these coupled together to minister to others that may be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So keep that in mind over the course of the weekend. Knowing mysteries still lacks something. Okay? It lacks charity. So there is a problem, though. You might, in the past, have done something like this. You're talking to somebody about the Scriptures. You would like to draw them an example of what you think would demonstrate the mystery of Christ. You throw a cross in the middle. Paul is out here to the side. You write mystery over the top. And then you begin to proclaim all the things that you just simply do not have to do. All right? Say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And as we move forward towards the Scriptures, nobody knew the mystery until Paul was revealed the mystery. And now we don't tithe. Okay? We don't baptize. We don't sing. We don't do any of these things. Okay? None of those things we do. And is this something that communicates what the mystery of Christ is? Is that really sufficient to describe Paul got something and therefore I stand on my platform on what I don't do? Okay? We don't follow law. We don't teach any of these things that other ministries teach. This should not be the case. We need to understand the issue. Okay? Surely saying what it's not falls short of describing what it is. Okay? So, number one, we must understand that there is a mystery in the Scriptures to be seen. Point number one. Yes, there is a mystery. Yes, it was kept secret. Yes, Paul was the first to receive it. You got to get that. That's a very important point. But we will move past that. Romans 16:25 tells you that it was kept secret. It concerns the gospel revealed to Paul, and that's where we stand. Okay? We also know that in Ephesians 3:9, it was hid in God. And we know Colossians 1:26 that it was hid from ages and generations. That's important. Step number one, there is a mystery to be seen. Step number two, this thing was kept secret. Okay, Paul received that. Okay, now moving on with that premise, prophecy and mystery are different. And a corollary to that is anything revealed prior to the mystery is not the mystery of Christ. Okay, it's not kept secret. It's spoken, written, and revealed. And we need to understand the difference there also. But before we can see very clearly what the mystery of Christ is, which will happen in sessions 2 and session 3, Justin and Jeremy will come up and those sessions will address that. This session will deal specifically with what is not the mystery of Christ. Okay? So we need to clear our minds and understand what it is that can block your vision. While we're comfortable saying it's not Israel, their promises, or their covenants, do you describe the mystery of Christ this way? Do you describe it as the deity of Christ? Please turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah 9. Prophecy speaks of a coming Messiah. Prophecy speaks of the Son of God. Prophecy speaks of the Savior that would come, the Holy One of Israel. And in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. If you cross-refer that with Matthew 1:23, that's declared to be God with us. That's identified positively to the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. The deity of Christ and prophecy speaking about God with us is not a mystery. Okay? Not a mystery. Now, if you take John 1, in the beginning was what? The Word, and the Word was God. Right? Yeah. So we need to understand right away that the Scriptures proclaim the deity of Christ, Him God manifest in the flesh. This is all something that's prior to Paul. You cannot use the deity of Christ as, yes, it's mysterious. Okay, don't get me wrong on that. But it's not a mystery pertaining to the Scriptures. So point number one, do you describe it this way? As I go through various examples of what the mystery is not, if you were to write on your bulletin in question number two, any of the things that I address, wear that shoe. Okay? If the shoe fits, wear it. We need to be precise in how we communicate things, and we need to go through these examples and make sure that we're cleared. Okay, how about the death, the burial, and the resurrection? This is not the mystery of Christ. Let me say that very clearly. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is not the mystery of Christ. Take a look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I know that many can quote this, but I want you to look very closely. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, verse 1, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Okay? So the mystery of Christ is not the death, the burial, and resurrection. You could use that verse as an example. You say, come on, Dustin, that's got to be it. That's the gospel that we preach. Paul received the mystery gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. There it is. And it says, according to the Scriptures. We need to be very clear on that. Who is not familiar with Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53 is pretty clear. Wounded for transgressions, right? The chastisement was upon this man, this suffering servant that's proclaimed in Isaiah 53. Is this not the example that's used in Acts chapter 8 when Philip goes to the Ethiopian eunuch? and positively identifies that as Jesus Christ. How could we say the death, the burial, and the resurrection is a mystery? It's not. It's proclaimed in the Scriptures. Take a look, if you would, at Exodus 24:8. How about the blood? How about the blood? In Exodus chapter 24, in verse 8, you have Moses proclaiming to the people about the blood of the covenant. Okay, Israel having a sacrificial system. Atonement, we understand, is necessary for sin to be remitted. Okay, we need sacrificial system in terms of Israel's prophetic program. This is something that existed. Exodus 24 in verse 8. Let me get there with you. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." If you take that with Hebrews chapter 9, you'll see that Christ's blood paid for the transgressions under the First Testament. Matthew 26, does he not proclaim this at the Passover feast that night before he died? This is the blood of the covenant, right? The blood of the New Testament. This is not a mystery. So if you proclaim the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the blood of Christ to be the mystery of Christ, you are sorely mistaken. That is incorrect. You miss the mark in communicating clearly. Now, we'll have sessions 2 and 3, which will address maybe some of the questions that are coming up in your mind right away. But you need to be clear that the Scriptures prophetically, if they speak of any of these elements that you would use to teach the mystery of Christ, to say that's what it is, then you will miss the mark. It's not precise. And so we need to be very specific. Okay, how about his resurrection? I didn't speak too much about that, but look at Psalm 16 and verse 10. Psalm 16 in verse 10. David was a prophet, and the Holy Ghost spoke through him. And these words are confirmed in Acts chapter 2. All right, they positively identify the Christ by means of resurrection. David, being a prophet, spoke before of this. Here's the reference in Psalm 16:10. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Again, this is in Acts chapter 2. Positive identification of the Christ and the new hope begotten Israel in Christ. Okay, this is what Peter speaks about, begotten again into a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead. Okay, Christ's resurrection was necessary for Israel and is in accordance with their Scriptures, and it is not a mystery. Okay, do you understand what's being put forth here? When we say what it is, if we explain what it's not, then we're missing the mark. Okay, all of these elements are important, but they are not the mystery of Christ. Look at Luke 24. Christ himself with the individuals on the road to Emmaus. And then later when he meets with the rest of the disciples, he addresses the Scriptures and what they taught about him. Okay, he brings their awareness and understanding to the Scriptures. And in Luke 24, in verse 25, is where we'll begin. "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." Look down at verse 44. And we'll carry this through verse 49. "And he said unto them," him being Christ and with the disciples, "he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." not a mystery. He addresses all of these things, expounds unto them the scriptures, opens their understanding to it, and there it is. Okay? Death, burial, resurrection. Promised spirit. Not a mystery. Okay? None of these things. And yet, don't we stand and proclaim those truths in conjunction with the mystery of Christ? And rightfully so. I'm not trying to say that you should not. But you're not describing what the mystery is. Okay? You will not describe what the mystery is by explaining just that. Let's move a little bit closer. I'm going to use a series of phrases. Now, I'm hoping that some of you wrote something down on the back of your bulletin. I'm not going to pull it up. You don't have to positively identify yourself. But I want you to consider the things that you would describe to somebody as being the mystery of Christ. Okay? How about grace to sinners? Would you describe this as the mystery of Christ? Grace to sinners? Yes. But who was the first sinner? Adam. By one man, sin entered, and death by sin. Did God destroy Adam when sin was found? What does that mean? What were they showed? Grace to sinners, right? Is this the mystery of Christ? This is not the mystery of Christ. Grace is an attribute of God. Man, being a sinner, needs grace. It's a necessity to him. And so since sin has been present, grace is necessary. You can make an argument grace is necessary before that. Okay? But you need that. And I want you to understand that's not the mystery of Christ. Okay, Romans 5:12 gives you the example by one man sin entered and death by sin. Okay, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6:8. You have all these examples. Exodus 33:17, Moses found grace and God said it. God said, thou hast found grace in my sight. Okay, so grace to sinners is not a new thing, not a mystery. How about Gentile blessing? Is this something that you would describe as being the mystery of Christ? Gentile blessing. Are you not a Gentile that receives blessing through Christ? Yes, I would say this for sure, but this is not a mystery. Take a look at Genesis 12:3. Genesis 12:3. Another passage that you probably could quote, but let's just look very close. Genesis 12 in verse 3. Gentile blessing is the topic. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Would that not speak of Gentile blessing? Genesis 12, everybody. Not a mystery. Okay? You would miss the mark if that was your description. How about walking by faith and not sight? Does that get close? It might. Okay? Of course, Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 5:7. All right? This could be a banner verse for the entire scriptures. Use Hebrews 11 alone. How many people are addressed in Hebrews 11? Many. Right? In fact, it gets to a point after it doesn't describe everybody, and it just says, and of all those that we didn't talk about, that had all these experiences, what do they do? How do they walk? What do they have? Come on. Faith. Faith. How did they walk? By faith. They didn't receive the promises and they died. Right? Okay. Walking by faith and not by sight. We have this in Hebrews 11. Plastered throughout the scriptures. Okay? Not new. Not a mystery. How about this one? This one might strike a chord, okay? Don't throw anything at me. Justification by faith. Justification by faith. Look at Genesis 15:6, since we're right there. How does faith come? By hearing the word of God. By nature. A person that hears God's word, that's already creating the environment for faith, is it not? Right. So he speaks to man, of course, a positive response by man. This is what we would call faith. But God is speaking to people. You need to keep that in mind. Genesis 15:6, and he, Abram, after he hears the promise that God says, the things that he does not see, something that's going to be yet future. And he says, He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Habakkuk 2:4, that shows that the just shall live by his faith. All right? So the word faith, even though you will find that resounding two times in the Old Testament scriptures, does not mean that God did not have man to have faith. He did. His words are all through it. And man is in that scenario. Okay? So please keep that in mind. Justification by faith is not a necessary thing. Does not man have to have faith? They do. How about this one? Salvation by grace. Salvation by grace. Would you use this as an example to describe the mystery of Christ? What is it? It's salvation by grace. It's justification by faith. It's Gentile blessing. It's the deity of Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection. Miss, miss, miss. You're wide right and wide left on all of those slap shots. They don't work. Okay? They are truths. They are necessary, but they do not describe what it is. Okay? Are you following? Okay. We need to be very, very clear on that. Salvation to the whole world, if you were to use the example, God has had that plan from the beginning. Okay? Not a mystery. Okay? So, if these were your answers, you've got a little further to go. We're not there yet. None of the previous examples tell what the mystery of Christ is, and we must be more discerning in how we speak. 1 Corinthians 1 says that we need to speak the same thing. There shouldn't be any divisions, and there is no division in the body. And so we ought to speak the same thing. Let's describe the mystery of Christ clearly, and let's first understand what it's not. Secret things are God's. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. You know, every point that I'm describing, I've said, just you should know that. Okay, this is not like I had all the answers from the beginning. These are statements that I would make as well. And so I'm corrected like anybody else ought be. So allow yourself to be teachable and allow yourself to see the scriptures and see what they put forth and be clear. That's the function of this session and also of the seminar. Deuteronomy 29:29. I had a brother show this to me a while back. I thought it was a very helpful verse. You consider it yourself. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It's a good verse, I think, to use by comparison to the things that were kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. That's what we speak of when we talk about the gospel and the ministry given to Paul. So it's a good comparison. But the secret things cannot be, okay, the things that God has revealed, they cannot be the thing that he kept secret. That's the point I mean to make. Let's begin with an understanding that telling people what it's not fails to show them what it is. Okay, let's begin with that understanding to move forward. Are you ready? Are you warmed up? Okay, good. The question that we have here for the rest of the seminar is, what is the mystery of Christ?